You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Flitter from MLB.com, and I'm here for my weekly chat with Steve Gilbert, who, of course, you all know, covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com and is keeping up on every single thing going on as we enter the final 2 months of the season, Steve. So your team was just in Houston. I'm sorry that I missed you, but I was reading up on everything. It looked like things were going to go pretty well. The Diamondbacks took the first game from the Astros, but then lost the next two. And Chip Hale had some interesting comments after the last game on Sunday, just really questioning the energy level of the team. Is this a kind of a dog days of summer thing, or would this be sort of playing uninspired baseball? What's going on with the Diamondbacks?
You know, Allison, I think it's anybody that's been around baseball for a while knows that I think it was just frustration talking, because if you watch baseball, you know that when a team is not hitting, they have a tendency to look lifeless. And the Diamondbacks, after winning the first game of that series, it was six straight wins. It was their first six-game winning streak since 2011. And then they ran into two pretty good pitchers in Dallas Keuchel and Colin McHugh. And they didn't hit. And when you don't hit and there's not a lot of action on the bases, it tends to look like you're playing without life. And I think Chip Hale was frustrated by the way the game turned out. And I think maybe that was more frustration than anything, speaking with him after the game. You know, you talk to some of the players, and they didn't sense that there was a lack of energy, but just some pretty good pitching on the part of the Astros in those final two games of the series.
Yeah, I always wonder about that whole, like, they look like they're not playing with any energy kind of philosophy. It's very hard. I mean, in basketball, you know, guys are running constantly, and so you can tell if they look sluggish. Football, it's an action sport. I mean, you're going to get killed if you have low energy. But in baseball, it's like, I mean, the pitcher's pitching and the hitter's hitting, but, like, the fielders are largely, you know, they're getting their set positions, and as soon as there's contact made, they're on the move. But there is a lot of in-between time where they're standing there. And I never really understood. I mean, it's like, I felt like when fans say it, it's just kind of like maybe because they can't think of any other reason why their team isn't very good. But Hale, I mean, he would actually be able to sort of get a feeling in the dugout and sort of get a feel for what's going on around him. So I guess there's a little more legitimacy when it comes to that.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's a fair point that maybe he didn't like what he saw in the dugout. It just seems like it's always such a hard thing to judge when you're not hitting, because, you know, then there's just not a lot of action on the base paths, and you got guys striking out, and it can look like you're lifeless. But you know, the Astros team is a pretty good team, and especially at home, and Keuchel and McHugh have been a pretty potent 1-2 punch for them.
Yeah, and so I found this interesting that Tomas was recently pulled for what seems to be a lack of hustle. So I was trying to read the description. So basically he hit the grounder, and then he sort of jogged out of the box and then turned away. Like, the play was made. I mean, it wasn't like there was an error or anything. The play was made, but he wasn't even, like, halfway down the line, and he already turned away to go back to the dugout. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he had a tap at the first base and just kind of started to jog down the line, and the first baseman stepped on first base, and he stopped running and turned back towards the dugout. It didn't seem overly egregious, you know, watching it happen at the time. But apparently it was something Chip Hale wanted to send a message about, although not through the media, because post-game he wouldn't say that's why he took him out. He said they was going to keep that in the family. But that apparently was the reason. They didn't like the fact that he didn't run all the way through to the bag. So whatever message he delivered to Tomas when they met after the game was obviously received, because then on Sunday when he hit two grounders back to the pitcher's mound, he ran hard to first base the whole way both times, even though he was out easily in both cases.
Okay, so you've seen a lot of baseball. Like, enlighten me on this. I mean, is that, like, important to managers? Like, if the runner, I mean, I've been in baseball for 18 years. I guess I learn something new every day. I mean, if the runner, you know, he's going at a decent pace down first base and the play is made, like, way before he gets there, is it important for him to actually touch the base? I mean, they mostly do, but I thought that was just kind of out of, you know, superstition or habit or whatever, that players do that. But is that showing hustle more than if you just kind of, you know, stop three-fourths of the way down because you're out?
Apparently for some managers it is. I mean, we're in Washington, D.C. here, and Matt Williams sat Bryce Harper down and pulled him from a game last year when he didn't run out a ground ball in which he was easily out at first base. So, you know, I guess that was a message he wanted to send to his team, and he did. You know, for me, I don't know, it didn't look egregious, like I said. And if you talk to the guys in the clubhouse about Tomas, you never hear, even off the record, you never hear them say he has a poor work ethic or he doesn't try or he doesn't work hard. He's very popular with his teammates, and they respect him. So it was a little surprising, but, you know, again, maybe there's some more to it that Chip is not telling us, and that it's important to him to set that kind of tone or whatever it is. So, again, hard to know exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm imagining there's something else there, but that's cool to let it go. So let me just talk. The trade deadline was really weird because we were doing a lot of podcasts like the day before the deadline, and then, you know, things changed on a dime. Nothing major went on with the D-backs, but they did make a strong push for Aroldis Chapman, the closer with the Reds. And a couple teams did. I mean, he was very much in play, and then at the end the Reds decided to keep him. The price seemed to be a little bit too high. Do you feel like the Diamondbacks were maybe close to getting them or getting him, or were they just like really far apart on what kind of prospects they wanted back?
Yeah, Dave Stewart said he didn't think that they were very close, but they were very interested, and he was somebody that they weren't looking at as just for this year, but obviously somebody that they would have controlled next year is arbitration eligible. And Stewart even said after the trade deadline that had they acquired Chapman, they were going to look into possibly even extending him beyond next year. He's just somebody that they thought kind of fits what they're looking for right now, and they were willing to pay a pretty large price for him, but apparently not as large a price as what the Reds were looking for on them. But they were very interested in, I guess not at that price.
It's club control is the most important thing to a team when they're looking to trade somebody. That's why you have to. You really have to get a haul when it comes to a guy that's not going to become a free agent at the end of the season if they get traded. And I know that. So, but the Diamondbacks, I mean, it kind of sends a message a little bit like we're going to be contenders next year, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely feel that they're going to be, and they definitely feel like one of the pieces they're missing at the moment is a closer, both for, you know, this year and next year, although Brad Ziegler's done a very nice job for them in that role. But clearly, it looks like they could make another run at Chapman in the offseason. That wouldn't surprise me either, because they definitely see that a closer is something that they feel like they need this important piece for next year and going forward after that. Tony La Russa has always put a big emphasis on the bullpen. It sounds like Dave Stewart does as well.
So we're like 2 months left in the season. So you've been around Chip Hale regularly all season. What are some of your impressions of him, just quickly, like as a manager and as a leader, and what kind of job do you think he's done this year?
I think he's done a really nice job of communication. I think he's brought a lot of energy to the ballpark, and I think that's something that we kind of expected going into it, those of us that knew him. And he's also a very emotional person. I think you see that at times in his post-game comments. He doesn't always have the best of poker faces. Which is not necessarily a bad thing. He's just going to tell you how it is, like he did after Sunday's game when he felt they didn't show energy. He didn't sugarcoat it. He just flat out said it. And you could see the frustration in his face after some of the losses. So I think he's done a great job, though, communicating and getting guys playing time. And everything seems to be very organized. Guys know when they're playing, when they're not going to be playing, usually at least a day in advance. So I think he's done a very nice job with that.
Okay. Well, Steve, I'm glad we had this talk. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, Allison. Take care.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.